Securities and advisory services through Independent Financial Group, LLC, a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Good morning, southeastern Connecticut, western Rhode Island, east Long Island, and up to Glastonbury. Hope everybody's staying dry this morning. It's a rainy morning. It's supposed to ease up by noon, so you can get out and do your afternoon shopping if you want. If you're driving around and listening, I hope I'm glad you are. There's a lot to cover this week, and my name is Dennis O'Brien. I'm president of O'Brien Retirement. I guess I should tell you that. My company is in Mystic, Connecticut. My website's www.obrienretire.com. We have the Retirement in a Nutshell cash flow plan you can do for complimentary. I can't say free. I'm supposed to say complimentary, but it means the same darn thing. Also, you can go up there and pull up. I have four past shows now up on the website for September, so you can pull those up, too, if you like, and listen in. And my phone number right now is 860-464-9490. And this show is going to be a little bit different than the others because I'm going to read excerpts from a book that has become my favorite book this month called The Automatic Millionaire by David Bach. And the reason why this book is my favorite book is that because I feel that most people, when they're saving for retirement, much of the country is saving through their automatic 401ks, if they have a 401k offer to work, or through an IRA if they don't. But most of the country is undersaving and overspending, and much of the country has credit card debt. Of course, if you own a house, many of you have mortgage debt. You have car loans. You have we have a lot of debt, and the numbers are getting worse. Debt's starting to grow again pretty aggressively. So we're going to talk about that. I'm going to read excerpts from this book and talk about if your father and mother sat you down when you first got married, the things they should tell you. And when I talk about it to 70- and 80-year-olds, they say, I wish somebody had done this. Now, maybe 1 in 10, 1 in 5 figure it out on their own, but many people do not. So we're going to talk about that and other things, but I just think it's important to discuss what can be done. Now, a client called me this week. They're both retired teachers, and their son just started teaching. So he called me, and he said, listen, I want you to do what you've done for us in terms of let's get started him saving on the right foot. He's not married yet. He's still single, living at home. He's making about $2,000 every 2 weeks, or every $2,000 twice a month, which is about $4,000 a month. So I said, okay, we'll set that up. He needs to come in. Well, can't you come over to the house? No, I have to deal with him privately because your names aren't on the account. He has the right to his privacy. And the plan will be to put 10% of his money automatically out of the checking account, ACH it over to the brokerage account with me, and he starts this process every month, and he's only 24 years old, 25 years old. So if he starts this early, 10%. Now, you can start at 4, 3. I really don't care. But I'll bust your chops to raise it every year, okay? And because he's going to do this, he is guaranteeing, not guaranteeing because that's a bad word. I can't say that according to the regulators. But he's ensuring to a great degree that he will retire a millionaire when he's 60. And we'll talk about why and how this happens and the conversation you should have with every newly married couple. Okay? And I'm going to read excerpts from the book, and then we'll go from there. Now, this is written by David Bach. This is probably, I think the book came out in 04, but I'm not sure. It's called Automatic Millionaire. I'll never forget when I first met my automatic millionaire. I was in my mid-20s, and I was teaching an investment class at a local adult education program. Jim McIntyre, a middle-aged manager from a local utility company, was one of my students. He and I hadn't spoke much until one day he came up after class and he asked if he could make an appointment with me to review he and his wife's financial situation. The request surprised me, although I felt strongly and still do that everyone can benefit from the advice of a financial advisor. Jim didn't strike me as the type who would seek it out. I told him I'd be happy to set up a meeting, but if he wanted my help, and this is David talking, his wife would have to come too, as my group managed money only for couples who worked on their finances together. Jim smiled. No problem, he said. She's the reason I'm here. She took your Smart Woman Finish Rich seminar and told me I should sign up for the course. I like what you had to say, and we both figured it's time to do some financial planning. You see, I'm planning to retire next month. That was one of my favorite sentences in the story. Now I was really surprised, David said. I didn't say anything, but I looked Jim up and down, and I doubt he could be in a position to retire. For the first comments he had made in class, I knew he was in his early 50s and had worked for the same company for 30 years, never earning much more than $40,000 a year, and didn't believe in budgets. It gets better and better. I also know he considered himself to be ultra-conservative, so I figured he couldn't have made a fortune in the stock market. My grandma, Rose, always taught me never judge a book by its cover, but something didn't add up. Maybe Jim had inherited a lot of money. For her sake, I hope so. When the McIntyres came in my office a few days later, they looked exactly what they were, hard-working, average Joe Americans. What struck me in my mind was Jim was wearing a short-sleeved dress shirt with a plastic pocket protector in his breast pocket. His wife, Sue, had a little more flair with some seriously blonde highlights. She was a beautician and a few years younger than Jim. The thing was, they didn't act like middle-aged people. They were holding hands like two high school kids on the first date, bubbling with excitement. Before I could ask how I could help them, Jim started talking about his plans and what he would do with his free time. As he did, Sue kept explaining, "Isn't it great he can retire so young? Most people can't retire until they reach the age 65, and here Jim's able to do it at 52. So that's the first part of the story. We got a minute or two to go in this segment. So far, he's met with this couple. They look like just average middle-class couple. He's told them he's going to retire at 52. And the young man is only, the financial advisor is only 25, 26. He's young. He's really their daughter's age, basically. And things don't add up to him. He doesn't understand what's going on. So we'll talk about that a little bit longer, a little bit more. We'll go on with the story in the next segment. And I also want to bring to your attention that there's a brilliant author and mystic named Susan Kinsman. And she wrote a book called Every Other Wednesday. And both the Otis Library and the Bank Square Books are teaming together to have an event, a book signing event for her next book, Every Other Wednesday. It'll be at Michael Jordan Steakhouse in Mohegan Sun this Thursday at 12 noon. Tickets are $40, include a book and a lunch. And if you ever get a chance, Susan's a brilliant writer. Her insights into family, modern families and relationships and the tugs that go on. You really ought to read her books. But in any case, we'll continue the story in the next segment. Thank you. Dennis O'Brien, O'Brien Retirement, www.obrienretire.com. Our phone number is 860-464-9490. I'm continuing the story with Jim and Sue McIntyre visiting young Dave in his office. He's a 25-year-old financial advisor, and they're going to retire at 52, and Dave's skeptical, and the story continues. After about 10 minutes of this conversation, I had to interrupt. Guys, your enthusiasm's contagious, but let's not get ahead of ourselves here. I've met with literally hundreds of potential retirees over the last few years, and I have to tell you this. Hardly any of them been able to retire in their early 50s. I looked Jim in the eye. Usually people come in my office to find out if they can retire, I said. And you seem to be sure you can. What makes you so certain you can afford to? Jim and Sue exchanged a look. And then Jim turned back to me. You don't think we're rich enough, he said, do you? The way Jim put it, it wasn't exactly a question. Well, that's not the way I would have phrased it, Dave diplomatically replied. But yes, it takes a fair amount of money to fund an early retirement, and most people your age aren't even close to having saved enough. Knowing what I do about your background, I'm truthfully curious to see how you could possibly have enough money. I looked him in the eye. He gazed back at me serenely. Jim, you're only 52, I said. Considering that you're 1 in 10 people can barely afford to retire at 65 with a lifestyle equal to what they had when they worked, you have to admit that retiring at your age with your income would be a pretty big feat. Jim nodded. Fair enough, he said, and handed me a sheaf of documents. They included his and Sue's tax returns as well as financial statements that listed exactly what they owed and owed. I first looked at their tax returns. The previous year, Jim and Sue had earned $53,946. This is around 2004. Not bad. Not rich, be sure, but decent income. Okay, next. How much did they owe? I scanned their financial statements. I couldn't find any outstanding debt listed. I said, raising an eyebrow. You have no debt. They exchanged another smile. Sue squeezed Jim's hand. The McIntyres don't do debt, she said with a chuckle. What about your kids, I said. What about them, Jim answered. They're both out of college on their own, and God bless them. Well, all right then, I said. Let's see what you own. I turned back to the financial statement. There were two homes listed, the house where they live, valued at $450,000, and a rental property, the second house, valued at $325,000. Wow, I said. Two houses and no mortgage on either? Nope, Jim replied. No mortgage. Next came the retirement accounts. Jim's 401k balance was currently amounted to $610,000, and there was more. Sue had two retirement accounts on her own, totaled $72,000. In addition, they owned $160,000 in municipal bonds and had $62,500 in bank savings account. Talk about a substantial asset base. Add some personal property, including a boat and three cars, all paid for. They had a net worth approaching $2 million, which in 2004, pretty fair. For a 52-year-old. By any standard, the McIntyres are rich. It wasn't simply that they owned a lot of assets free and clear, although that in itself is pretty impressive, but they had a continuing stream of income in form of interest and dividends from their investments and $26,000 a year rent generated by the second house. On top of that, Jim had qualified for a small pension, and Sue liked being a beautician so much that she planned to keep working until she was 60, even though she didn't need to. Suddenly, Jim's plan to retire at 52 didn't seem so crazy. In fact, it was completely realistic. More than realistic, it was exciting. Normally, I don't get wide-eyed at people's wealth, but there was something about the McIntyres that impressed me. They didn't look rich. They didn't seem terribly special. To the contrary, they would seem perfectly ordinary. Your average, nice, hard-working couple. How could they have possibly amassed such wealth at a relatively young age? To put it mildly, I was confused, but I was also hooked. Now, this is Dave talking, the author of Automatic Millionaire in his book, and I'm reading from his book, which you can get on Amazon, free books, used, hard copy. If your kids are getting married, buy them the book. I was in my mid-20s at the time, and even though I was making good money, I was still basically living paycheck to paycheck. Some months I did manage to save a little, but more often than not, I'd get busy and spend too much time in the next month and not save a dime. Many months it seemed like instead of getting ahead, I was falling behind, working harder and harder to make ends meet. It was embarrassing, really, and frustrating. Here I was, a financial advisor, teaching others how to invest, and I was often struggling myself. Even worse, here were the McIntyres, who probably in the best year barely made half of what I was making at the time, and yet they were millionaires. While I was falling further and further into debt. Clearly, they knew something about taking action with their money that I needed to learn, and I was determined to find out what it was. How could such regular people amass such wealth? Eager to know their secret, but not knowing where to begin, I finally asked him, did you inherit any of this? That's the first thing, you know, you're going to think, right? Jim broke out in a deep belly laugh. Inherit! Shaking his head. The only thing we inherited was knowledge. Our parents taught us a few common sense rules about handling money. We did what they said, and sure enough, it worked. The same is true for a lot of people we know. In fact, in our neighborhood, about half our friends are going to retire this year, and many of them are better off than we are. At this point, I was hooked. The McIntyres had come to interview me about how I can help them, but now I wanted to interview them. You know, I said, every week I meet people who take my classes like you do, and they're the opposite of you. I mean, they look rich, and when you get into details of what they really have, it often turns out that they're not only not rich, but broke. Just this morning, I met a man who drove up with a brand new Porsche, wearing a gold Rolex watch. He looked loaded, and when I went through his statements, I found he actually leveraged to the hilt. The guy in his mid-50s, living in a million-dollar home with an $800,000 mortgage, less than $100,000 savings, more than $75,000 credit card debt, and he was leasing a Porsche. Plus, he was paying alimony to two ex-wives. At this point, the three of us couldn't help ourselves. We all began to laugh. I know it's not funny, I said. But here is this guy looking rich and successful, and actually he's a financial and emotional wreck. He handled his finances just like he drove his Porsche, redlining all the way. Then you guys come in. You drive up in a Ford Taurus. Jim's wearing a 10-year-old Timex. Nope, Jim interrupted with a smile. It's an 18-year-old Timex, he said proudly. Exactly, an 18-year-old Timex, and you're rich. You guys are happy as clams, still married, two great kids you put through college, and you're retiring in your mid-50s, so please tell me, what's your secret? You must have one, right? Sue looked me right in the eye. You really want to know, she said. I nodded wordlessly. Sue looked at Jim. You think we can spare an extra 15 minutes to explain it to him? Sure, Jim said. What's 15 minutes? He turned to me. You know, David, you already know this stuff. You teach it every day. We just lived it. Sue took a deep breath, then launched into their story. Well, first, we got married young. Jimmy was 21 when we started dating, and I was 19. We were married 3 years later. After our honeymoon, both our parents sat us down and told us together that we needed to get serious with our lives. They said we had a choice. We could work all our lives for money and live month to month, paycheck to paycheck, like most people. Or we could learn to make our money work for us and really enjoy our lives. The trick, they said, was simple. Every time you earn a dollar, you should make sure you pay yourself first. Jim nodded in agreement. You know, he said, most people think when they get their paycheck, the first thing they should do is pay all their bills. Now, if there's anything left over, they can save a few dollars. Our parents taught us to really get ahead of the game, you have to turn this around. Put aside a few dollars for yourself, then pay all your other bills. He sat back down in his chair and shrugged as if to say, no big deal. Sue smiled and shook her head. Jim makes it sound easy, she said, but in the truth, we had to learn how to save our money. In the beginning, we tried to put ourselves on a budget, but somehow the numbers never added up and we started fighting a lot. One day I called my mom upset because of a money fight we had, and she told me that budgeting didn't work. She said she and my dad had tried it and led to endless arguments. So they decided to toss the budget and instead take 10% of their pay out of their paychecks, put it in a savings or brokerage account before they ever saw or had a chance to spend it on anything. You'd be surprised how quickly you get used to doing without that 10%, she told me. And meanwhile, it's piling up at the bank. The secret, she explained, is you can't spend what you don't see. So that's what we did. We originally started by putting aside 4% of our income and slowly increased the amount. Today we save 15%. But on average, we always saved about 10%, just like Mom said. Well, and what do you do with the savings, I asked. Well, the first thing we did was start saving for our retirement. You know, back then we didn't have 401k plans, Jim broke in, but a lot of companies, including mine, had pension plans that allowed you to contribute extra money if you wanted to. Most of our friends didn't bother, but we did. Sue took up the story again. After that, our next priority was to put aside enough so we could buy a home. Both our parents told us that their homes had been their best investments they'd ever made, and nothing gives you freedom and security like owning a home. But the key, they said, was to owning it free and clear. In other words, you pay off that mortgage as quickly as you can. They said while our friends were busy splurging on decorating their apartments and eating lunch out every day, we should watch our spending and savings as much as we could. We made a big point about how so many people waste money on small things. She looked at Jim. You remember that, honey? She said. I sure do, Jim replied. He turned to me. You know, the trick to getting ahead financially isn't being by cheap and boring. It's watching the small stuff, the little spending habits you have that you're better off without. In our case, we realized one of our main small stuff was spending too much on cigarettes. We both smoked a pack a day, and our parents hated it. Back then, the health risks were beginning to be publicized, and they pointed out that if we stopped wasting money on cigarettes, we probably could save enough in 2 years to make a down payment on a house, and we'd be saving our health in the process. So I'm going to stop right here because we have a minute to go before the next break. And Jim and Sue have come into David's office, a young financial advisor, and I've told them what advice their parents gave them as they got married and started saving. The thing I hear all the time from people is, I don't want to pay off my mortgage because I get a tax deduction. And I laugh every time I hear it. Pay off your house as soon as you can. And we'll talk about, they actually talk about their strategy and how they did it quicker than the usual person. My name's Dennis O'Brien. I'm from O'Brien Retirement. My website is www.obrienretire.com. Talk to you in a few. Bye-bye. Dennis O'Brien, O'Brien Retirement Group, www.obrienretire.com. My phone number after the show is 860-415-9617. It forwards to my cell. You can reach me 24/7. Please don't call after 10 p.m. I won't make any sense. But I'm reading excerpts from the book The Automatic Millionaire by David Bach when David was a young 25-year-old financial advisor. And Dave met with a couple named Jim and Sue McIntyre, and they wanted to retire at 52. And making $60,000 a year or less, they had acquired $2 million. And Jim was amazed, how'd you do it? And we went through the story about how they started doing it. Jim leaned forward in his chair. You know, the concept of your seminars that you call the latte factor when you teach people to stop wasting money on expensive coffee each morning and instead invest it? I nodded. Well, my dad didn't do that, but it was the same thing. He could have been called the cigarette factor or don't be dumb with your money factor. The idea was identical. If we saved a few dollars every day, we could eventually buy our own home. He said if we rented, we'd always be poor, making someone else rich. If we bought a home, we'd eventually make ourselves rich. That's it, I said. You saved some money by cutting out cigarettes and bought a home? I looked at Jim and Sue. They smiled back at me and nodded. But how did you end up with two homes, both mortgage-free? Well, we really don't have two homes, Sue said. We have one home and one rental property. Well, that's another part of the secret. Jim took up the story. Our parents taught us a trick that makes it easier to pay down your mortgage early. It's a trick they call the banks hate, but we love, and they were right. These days, it's easier than ever. When you do take out a mortgage payment, instead of paying it once a month, pay it half every 2 weeks. Not twice a month, but every 2 weeks. You do that consistently, and by the end of the year, you've made a whole extra payment without even feeling the pinch, which is 52 weeks in a year. And so instead of taking 30 years to pay down the mortgage, you've paid the thing off in 23 years. And bankers don't like that, but you should. We figured by following this plan, we could buy our home in our mid-20s and own it free and clear by the time we were in our late 40s. But what actually happened was even better. We ended up making some more extra mortgage payments on a consistent basis, so that by the time we were in our late 30s, the house was pretty much paid off. So then what, I said. Well, we didn't have any more mortgage payments to make, so without them, we had all this extra money each month. Jim grinned at me. So we figured we either waste it or we could buy a nicer house and rent out the first one. So that's what we did, using the same trick with our payment scheduled to pay off the second mortgage faster. Bingo! The next you know, we own two homes free and clear, one to live in, and the other one to rent out for a nice steady stream of extra income. Good plan, I said. Jim nodded vigorously. And another thing, Sue's mom and dad taught us was never buy on credit. He said, they had a strict policy which they passed on to us. And this is the tough one, kids, because we've all told we need to have a credit rating, right? And I had a big argument with a family member over this because they're saying, no, we need to buy stuff on credit. Because we need to have a good credit rating. You want to have a good credit rating? Have the lines of credit with zero on them. I'll tell you, you have a great credit rating. Don't worry about it. My parents had a strict policy, never buy on credit. They passed along to us, which we've passed along to our kids. And no matter how big they are, you pay for your purchases with cash or you don't buy. Exceptions, you're buying your home, and like Sue said, you pay off the mortgage as quickly as you can. It's not always easy, but that's the rule. That's right, Sue chimed in. It took Jim 5 years of savings to be able to buy that boat of his. And even then, I chose to buy a used one, he said. No, that's okay. I was perfectly happy to let someone else make the mistake of buying it new at a full price and letting me have it for a fraction of what he paid. We did the same thing with all our cars. We always bought used and never regretted it. You have the car checked out by a reliable mechanic, take good care of it, and it'll run just fine. The point is, Sue said, we didn't have enough cash to buy something, we didn't buy it. The entire time we've been married, we never carried credit card debt. When we used the cards, we paid them off the same month. And that was another tip our parents gave us that they said we'd love and the banks would hate. I sat back in my chair, amazed how simple the McIntyres made it all seem. There had to be a catch. I thought about it for a moment and realized what it was. Everything you're talking about, I said, makes perfect sense. Cutting out wasteful spending, accelerating your mortgage payments, paying yourself first, buying only with cash, avoiding credit card debt. You're absolutely right. These are things I all teach in my seminars. But to put it all together the way you have must have been a phenomenal willpower. Seriously, my hat's off to you. I wish everybody had the self-discipline you guys clearly possess. Unfortunately, most of us don't. I think that's why most people never become rich the way you have. Once again, Jim and Sue exchanged glances. They both smiled, and Jim gestured for Sue to explain. Well, that's just the point, she began. We don't have phenomenal willpower. If following our parents' tips had been a matter of self-discipline, I think we would have done nearly as well as we have. I don't think we would have done nearly as well as we have. I don't think we would have done well at all, interrupted Jim. I mean, Sue has some self-control, but me? Forget about it. Now I was really confused. I don't get it, I said. If you don't have special self-discipline, how'd you do it? After all, we live in a society in which advertising and entertainment, even the government, constantly bombarding us with temptations to do exactly the opposite of everything your parents taught you to do. How do you resist? How do you get yourselves to stick to all those rules in the face of all that temptation? I was asking more than just professional curiosity. As I said, I was in my mid-20s at the time, and I was perfectly finding incredibly hard to be disciplined enough to save that kind of money I knew I should be saving. My intense desire to know must have shown in my face because both Jim and Sue suddenly burst out laughing. After a moment, I joined in, too. You know, David, Jim said finally, we have a daughter just a little bit younger than you. So believe it or not, we understand how hard it can be to be disciplined about saving money when you're in your 20s. I'm pointing at my producer right now. But that's the beauty of our approach. It doesn't require discipline. I gave him a doubtful look. I'm not surprised you're skeptical, Jim said. It's so simple and so obvious that even someone who knows as much about money as you do has a hard time seeing it. But here's the real thing. Let's say you know you need to do something, but you're afraid you might be tempted to do something else. How do you make sure you do the right thing? Jim looked at me. I shrugged. Like I said, he continued, it's simple and obvious. You take the decision out of your hands. You arrange to have the thing you should do happen automatically. Automatically. Here's the key to the whole story. Remember when I was telling you before how we started paying ourselves first, Sue interjected. What we did was arrange to have a portion of our pay automatically taken out of our paychecks or checking account and put into a savings or brokerage account. The key thing was to make sure it was all automatic. Once we set it up, we didn't have to do a thing. It was out of our hands, literally. And that's the key to the whole crux of the whole thing. Of course, I said, it's just like systematic savings and investment programs I talk about in my class, except you applied it to every aspect of your finances. Exactly, Jim explained. You don't have to think about it. There's no change if you forget to do it, or worse, change your mind or deliberately not do it. Once the decision's out of your hands, there's no way you can be tempted into doing the wrong thing. We decided to become automatic millionaires. It was Sue's turn. Our parents call it protecting yourself from yourself, she said. We didn't have to worry about having any special willpower because we didn't have anything except to decide at the beginning that we wanted to be rich. And with the help of the great thing called payroll deduction, or ACH, automatic ACH, and I'm adding that in because that wasn't around when they were talking about it as much, we literally created a foolproof automatic system to achieve wealth. We had Jim's company take the money out of his paycheck and invest in the retirement account. We handled our accelerated mortgage payments in a similar fashion. The minute the bank started offering automatic transfer programs, ACH, we got ours to take our monthly mortgage payment plus a little extra right out of our checking account without having to do anything. We used systematic deduction scheme to automatically invest a portion of our incomes into mutual funds. Eventually, we automated our tithing. We always used a little each year to charity, but as time went on, we realized how simple it would be to make the process automatically. Understand, Jim said, we're not talking about huge amounts of money. At the beginning, we were saving less than $50 a month deducted from our paycheck. But over time, it really added up. I glanced down at the McIntyre financial statements with their seven-figure net worth. You're not kidding, I said, and it really is remarkable. Sue McIntyre shook his head. It's where you're wrong, she said quietly. It's not remarkable. If we can do it, anybody can do it. By deciding to be rich at a young age, we then created an automatic system for wealth. We made it impossible to fail. It's like the Nike slogan with a twist. They say, just do it. We say, just do it once, which is actually very clever. When it comes to money, all you have to do is automate your system, and you're done. Jim nodded in agreement. You know, back when it started, the technology of doing things automatically was new, and most of our friends didn't trust it. But today, it's a no-brainer. I mean, with all the programs they have now, you can automate everything you do financially in literally minutes. Our daughter Lucy got everything set up for herself in less than half an hour. Now she's on her way to becoming an automatic millionaire, just like us. And I don't think, Sue said laughing, that you have to be a couple old fogies like us to make it work. You excuse the mother for bragging, but our Lucy happens to be a very stylish young lady. No Timex on her wrist. Yeah, Jim said, she's got one of those swatches, fashionable and all, but not ridiculously expensive. And that's the point, Sue said. You can have fun and look great. I'm going to stop the story right here, and we'll be back in a few minutes. Thank you. Dennis O'Brien from O'Brien Retirement Investment Group, Mystic, Connecticut, www.obrienretire.com. You can reach me at 860-715-9614 during the week, 415-9614. Stayed up late watching the Yankees and woke up at 3:30 with the Beagle, who's 14 and has to pee every hour or 2 hours. So we're both pretty groggy here on the in the station. We were talking about David Bach's book, The Automatic Millionaire, where David tells the story about the McIntyres and how they became automatic millionaires, making $60,000 a year. And basically, they I'm just going to finish the story. Basically, she said, what really is the key is to make it automatic, the savings routine, okay? And they're talking about their daughter, and they took her, the daughter, about a half an hour to set everything up. I could do it in about 20 minutes, I think. Basically, you come in, you open a brokerage account, you bring in your license, okay? And you sign the ACH papers and give me a voided check, and you tell me on the 1st, 15th, both, quarterly, it's better to do it monthly or bi-monthly. And once it's up and running, it's automatic. And that's really the key of the story, is you just adjust. You know, you just adjust. And that's the key to it. So these people basically said, you know, they once they went automatic on the savings plan, they said budgets don't work. It just makes married couples fight. You spent money on this. No, you spent money on that. We've all had those discussions, you know. But the key is, if once you make it automatic, it really is the key of the story. And he says at the final, this is the final couple of sentences, McIntyre's left my office the way they came in hand, looking forward to their future life together with all the excitement of a newlywed couple. I sat at my desk for a long time thinking about what they had told me, especially Jim and Sue's parting word. The key, they said, was to set yourself up for success. Why make getting rich hard, they said, when you can make it rich, getting rich easy? And they were right, I realized. As long as you know what to do and can arrange to do it automatically, anyone can become an automatic millionaire. The session with the McIntyres was a turning point in my life, and this is Mr. Bach talking. It made me realize one crucial step, a lasting positive change in the way you handle your money. As a result of what I learned from the McIntyres, I automated everything I was doing financially. And you know, it worked. And today, I am an automatic millionaire. It's the Bach's turn. Now it's your turn. The story of the McIntyres and how they got rich without discipline by amassing wealth slowly and steadily can become your story, your children, your grandchildren's story. Please pass this on. Buy the book. Mr. Bach, I've never met him. He's not a relative. I was just inspired by the story. Find out, turn the page, continue reading, a few hours away, a new way of thinking, a new way to handling your hard-earned money. You're on the way to becoming an automatic millionaire. Later in the book, he talks about the latte factor, you know, cutting out the wasteful spending, cigarettes, coffee, you know, whatever you're pissing money away on, you know. We all do it, let's face it. But once you automate the savings, you'll just adjust. Instead of eating out four nights a week cheap, you might eat out two nights a week cheap. Who cares? You know, I mean, you can adjust to anything, really. That's the whole point of the story. Now, here's the dirty little secret of the broker's business that I have to share with you, okay? And I'm guilty of it, as well as every other financial advisor out there. Nobody wants to sit down and do this with you in the brokerage industry because it takes too long. So typically, I'll explain how it works. When a broker leaves a firm, a bank broker came up to me the other day and he said, somebody left the firm and all the accounts, 100,000 or less, were transferred to a call center. Usually the call centers are in Utah or somewhere where they can hire people cheap to work. So basically, they just want the brokers working on accounts north of $100,000. With the big firms, it could be $250,000, $500,000 net worth. Not all in one account, but an aggregation of accounts. But none of the brokers want to work with these kids starting out in life because there's no money in it. You know, they got to wait 40 years for the kid to become a millionaire. They're not going to spend the time on it. So I was thinking about it, and I said, you know what? One of the reasons I'm independent is I can open an account any size. Pershing, where I hold everything at, the fees are non-existent. I mean, they have little fees on IRAs and everything, but much, much less than the big firms. And the other thing is that once the kids are set up, you're changing lives. You're actually helping people change their life. You're giving them the advice that if the parents didn't know, okay, you're giving them advice that a parent would have given, gave the McIntyres, and you're helping change lives. And I joke around because I'm 60 years old, and I tell these 20-year-olds I'm setting up these accounts for, when you turn 60 and retire, put a flower on my grave, because I'll feel good if I knew I'd changed your life for the better and helped you. And also, the other thing is when you talk to the parents or the grandparents and you tell them this is what needs to be done, their eyes light up because they love nothing more than their children or grandchildren. They love them to death. They want them to succeed. And the problem is, many times, is you hear these stories about these kids becoming millionaires from the NFL and NBA and blow all the money, or these people that get these lottery winners and blow all the money and stuff like that. And it's not, it's because they didn't inherit knowledge. You know, and the key thing is you need to inherit knowledge. You need to learn what to do. And your parents, if they can't help you, I can. And this book definitely can help. Now, the rest of the book's okay and everything else. But, you know, like most things, when I go to a conference, I'm looking for one good idea. One idea that goes, that's it, you know. And when I got this book and looked it over, I go, oh, my God, it's plain as, you know, nose on your face. Let's help these kids get organized and everything else. So I'm a big believer in it, and it's not just for the kids. If you're 40, 50, 60, you can start at any age doing this. Sometimes after the kids move out, you can start saving a lot of money, you know, and you keep working, you like what you're doing. You can accumulate a lot of money, maybe not just for yourself, but you can pass it down. So this works at any age. And the big thing is if the kids see you doing it, the grandkids, and you explain what you're doing, and you explain the flow chart, how everything works, you know, it's like anything else. If you tell a kid not to drink and you're pounding a six-pack every night, they're not going to listen to you. They're going to think you're a hypocrite. So for whatever reason, do it yourself. Show them what you're doing and tell them you want them to do this too. Believe me, they will thank you. Thank you, thank you. It's a wonderful thing to do. And credit cards, who cares about credit rating? Get a credit card, you know, put Christmas on, pay it right off. Whatever you're going to do, all right, you have a credit rating. A lady called me the other day, and she's still working. She's 67. Her dad was a minister, no money, but she loves what she's doing. She said, I bought a used car. I sold my car. It was blowing up. Bought a car for $10,000. I have a 2% loan on it. So what do I do? And I said, well, remember that Social Security payments we've been automatically saving every month? Well, it's up to $20,000. I said, let's take $4,000 that's in the money market, pay the car down to $6,000, and we'll pay the rest of the car off in a year, and you'll have no payments. And she was, like, so happy because she asked me. She wanted advice. She needed help. I was just telling you before, the retired teachers, the son's going to come in. We're going to set that kid up where the $4,000, he's going to put away $400 a month. That account's going to grow. It's going to grow. And he's going to be able to buy mutual funds or Amazon or Facebook, whatever they want to do. So these things, if you start early and start them growing, and all the financial advisors out there listening, and I know you guys do listen, take on these little accounts. Get them automated. I know some of you do it. I think it's a fantastic thing to do to help these kids get going and up and running and stuff like that. I think every family should have a financial advisor, someone they can talk to, because just ask questions to inspire them, to set it up. Set up the automation. Because once it's automated, the decision's out of your hands. Forget budgeting. Forget all that stuff. That's a con job. It doesn't work. You know, you want to be a tyrant screaming and yelling at people all day, you'd be out of your mind and everything else. Hey, I'd like to meet you all. So I am going to go to Susan Kintzman's celebration of her novel every other Wednesday, and I'll be at Michael Jordan's on Thursday at lunch at the Mohegan Sun to celebrate Susan's new book every other Wednesday. So if you come in, you see a tall guy with a lot of white hair, okay? My wife calls me the Silver Fox, but she's biased, okay? But come on in, say hello. You'll get a lunch and a book signed by Susan for $40. You want to sign up, Go RSVP at banksquarebooks.com and sign up. She's a great lady, and I think you'll enjoy it, and I'll be there, and I'd love to meet you. Come on up, and don't be shy and introduce yourself. I think it'll be a great day. So that'll be Thursday, October 19th, this Thursday, noon, Michael Jordan Steakhouse, Mohegan Sun. It's $40. You get a lunch. You get the book signed by Susan, and you get to meet great people. She has fantastic following, great, great people. Her husband, Ted, is just a wonderful man, too. And everybody's very, very fond of Susan. I think you'll enjoy yourself. I was going to talk about a lot more stuff, but I decided to read excerpts from the book because I just thought, you know what? It's just something I wanted to do. It was bugging me. Guys, have a great week. You can call me at 860-415-9614. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye.